this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Let's do it.
Okay, I hit record.
All right, I hit record.
Say something.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Well, welcome to Feature Creep, colon...
Bits and bobs of
stuff. No, what's the built-in microwave?
Built-in microwave.
That's great.
Thrown off.
Guys,
there's too many people here.
I don't know what to do. What are we doing? Hi.
I panicked.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
Hello.
It's being on the world stage like this and speaking to millions of listeners is just terrifying.
Right. It's
too much.
Yeah, speaking to our whole audience all at once.
Pushing me over the edge.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do kind of a little test episode to test out recording three people with remote recording. So I'm Ned, this is Meg and Damon.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm the one who doesn't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's
right now.
That's me too.
So two.
Are we the same person?
You were the same person.
Well, no, you have plausible deniability because you don't usually do this. We do this all of the time, so we have no excuse. And there's no we, it's just me because I'm the one who screwed it up.
All right. Well, we're going to get on with the show. First, a little front matter. If this is your first time listening, you can email us. Well, you can email Dana. We blame Dana for all of this. She is the CEO and founder of this podcast. And so you can email Dana, D-A-N-A, at fcbm.io. Check all,
poor
you know,
Dana.
Send all of your complaints, especially like if we've spoken on a topic that you care about and we fucked it up. Definitely want to hear your criticism. We don't want to hear any good positive reviews. We just want to hear all your like, no. I can't believe they said that on the internet.
Right.
Yeah. So for this episode, it's a bit of just a test episode to check out the audio and stuff. So we're going to do a quick kind of react. So Meg and I have a running chat where we text each other pretty regularly, like show top title ideas. And so I'm going to just read through some of those show title ideas. And I think anybody can chime in, but, you know, give me your opinions and let's see how it goes.
Great.
All right. So I think I'll start somewhere in the middle. So I like this one. So this show title would be called Imagination Arguments.
Ooh. So
I can give you guys a little history. My friend Sierra, who I play D&D with, we were discussing, she was giving me some like very nice positive feedback about the game that I was running, and we were also like kind of lamenting how we were like, we just want to get on with having some imagination arguments is what she described it as. And I was like, fucking great. That's exactly what it is. Like playing Dungeons and Dragons is just sitting around having imagination arguments all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is totally true. This is what happens when we play as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else, if you guys don't have anything that grabs you, like I've got a million titles, so I'll just move on. Obviously,
okay,
if you think of something later, just let me know. We've got mental health fluffers.
Is that what therapists are now?
Right.
when they're not holding the position of like the great antichrist in our parents' minds for turning us against our parents, except our parents did that all on their own.
Is that when
someone shows up in a weird vehicle and hands you a teddy bear?
Yes, right, exactly.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah. A recent one, I feel like reading these together goes better, so I'll just kind of rapid fire through this like series that I shot off to Meg the other day.
Yes.
So it starts with making light of fascism. Then it goes to the earth is flat, right? And then it goes to why does my penis look like that?
That cracked me up so much when you sent me this.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you're trying to like mentally retrace somebody's steps, you're like, right? What was going on over there?
How did we get here? And I remember the headspace I was in because I was like, I had watched some flat earther like content, like I, you know, it like came into my feed and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I just started like thinking about like the absurd questions and weird shit. And then I was like, and then I was served. I don't know if you have ever been served those ads for, I don't know if it's been a while now. There was like bentcarrot.com, which was like really just a like, you know, men's health. Like if your penis is bent a way you don't like, maybe we can correct it. I don't know. I've never really looked into it. Whoa. But the advertisement for bentcarrot.com was just so funny. And so then what made me think of the, like, why does my penis look like this?
Bentcarrot.com sounds to me like people did with urogenital health concerns what we do with our podcast, where we start with a funny title and work backwards through the rest. I really want to have a men's health website at bentcarrot.com, uh-huh. but I'm not sure what it's going to do for people.
Right.
Bent carrot.
I fear the AI response to that question.
Why didn't we buy bentcarrot.com?
I know.
We could have sold it back to them for the thousands.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure crookedcarrot.com is still available.
Let's start a men's crooked penis health company that's in competition with Bent Carrot.
Can it be like that? Can it dovetail with that original idea I had about it was like placebo.com, where you can literally buy placebos? Yes.
I love this idea,
and
by
it's
the way.
Not even it's not even like none of the literature or the propaganda on the website is even hiding what a placebo is. Like, it's just upfront. Right. This is what a placebo is. This is how it doesn't work or like, here's our latest understanding of the placebo effect. Go buy some sugar pills. We've got them right here. What color do you want?
Yeah, right. What color do you want?
What color makes you feel most comfortable?
Right, yes. Yes. This is exactly what it's all about. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. Just what does it feel like? You know.
So it's a janky vehicle that shows up with a teddy bear and a placebo.
Yes. Yes.
Mental
exactly.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
Ah, great. Fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. So then here's another short list of... so after imagination arguments, there's also picking up bitches in my horseless carriage.
Speaking of picking up bitches in a horseless carriage.
Shouldn't it be wenches?
Wenches. Yes. Yes. Good correction.
This morning.
This is why we have this
driving.
Refinement process before we go public.
That's right. That's right. Got to road test it.
God
I was
forbid
driving to
be,
the.
Uncouth or in unhistorically accurate. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, right. I was driving to the post office this morning, and some guy like catcalled me in my car.
Oh God!
Like he and got in your car and catcalled you. No, sorry, you were in your car. And you got
right. He got caught. Yeah, he hopped in the car and then he started sexually harassing me inside my own vehicle. I was stopped at a stop sign,
that's
and
not
he
funny.
Like. I know. I mean, it is because it's true and it didn't happen to you.
Right.
But like, I was like at a stop sign and this guy pulled up at a four-way stop, like perpendicular to me. Uh-huh. And he turned the corner. So he like turned in my direction and then passed me. And as he was passing me, it was my driver's side window was open and his driver's side window was open. So he basically like leaned out of his car and catcalled me from a couple of feet away from his moving vehicle.
Jesus Christ.
It was like... Okay. Sometimes I get really irritated by that and insulted, and sometimes I'm like, maybe he was just paying me a compliment and he's uncouth about it.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I my opinion,
depends on the day.
Yeah, it depends
right?
on the
sometimes
day.
Sometimes I'm a lot more gracious about it. Today I was like, oh.
I've always had the opinion that like the real problem with catcalling isn't the catcalling. It's the it's the implication.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, yeah, like, it kind of sucks to be, like, vocally abused or whatever, but, like, the violence that is right on the edge of that is real fucking problem. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I think everybody has the right to be, like, I'm going to be in public and you just fucking stop, like, leering at my ass and telling me I have a good-looking ass. Like, that's just fucking, like, not okay, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure most women would argue that, like, also if we could stop the killing, murdering, and raping first, we'd be pretty happy with that situation.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle that I had not considered before.
Yeah, like, I'm not looking to be a fucking male apologist or, like, you know, say, oh, right. Well, you know, I mean, catcalling is justified or whatever. You know, so.
Yeah.
And there's certainly tons of venues where it's, like, socially acceptable.
Yes, and also, like... I don't know. Like, a friend of ours told us that they recently went to a different country.
Yeah.
That is like with inside that country is very homogenous culturally. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were very obviously not from that culture and were like treated appallingly by men in that culture because they were like they stuck out visually from the rest of the population, and then the men in that population were like hyper aggressive to them in public, like sexually hyper aggressive to them, worse than people get catcalled here in America.
Right.
And so they were like, you know, we thought we had one idea about how this trip was going to go and what it was going to be like when we participated in this culture, and it was completely different than we thought. And it was basically like a 2-week long running nightmare every time we stepped outside in public. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like hyper aggressive.
Was it Italy?
No, but that's the next place they said, well, after our experience here, we're not going to Italy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear most women I've heard who go to Italy have stories of like basically being shown cock in like some public and like,
yeah,
you know, which also,
yeah,
a thing that happens in the US quite a bit. It's just kind of fucked up.
If you're on a subway somewhere, you're going to see a dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, here's some random ones. This title, Someone Stole Some Rocks.
Is this about defacement in national parks?
is this another astronaut in a diaper situation?
Oh my God. Can you tell us about how the toilet works?
Oh, this is when those guys stole the Louvre, the gem heist from the Louvre.
Oh, the gem heist
at the Louvre. Yes, in some ways, yeah. I am on team heist.
I mean, yeah, like it's
very clever.
As I get older, the policing, the amount of violence and policing that comes like mm-hmm. that goes hand in hand with the protection of like very rich people mm-hmm. is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, like I like to me it's like no better shown than like I remember when I used to live in Hillcrest and I would here in San Diego, and there was a Ralph's that I would go to on occasion. Yep. And they had an armed guard, and the reason they had an armed guard is because there's a bit of a homeless population in that area, and what was mm-hmm. happening is that people were going in there and like stealing like baked goods, because like the way they had the grocery store set up is like they'd like the homeless would just walk in, they would grab some, you know, cake or something and walk out like immediately. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm just like you have an arm, I just wanted to go to these armed guards and be like, are you gonna shoot somebody over
a cake? Loaf
of bread? Yeah, right. Like over right, fucking yeah. cake? Right. Like what?
Yeah.
And anyway, that's where like, you know, it's kind of this very nonviolent crime. Yes, like it is in theory like a people's good, like a people's treasure. You know, in theory it's like kept at the Louvre and it's like a publicly available art piece that is a bummer. But like
Well, you know, as someone who worked at a retail establishment that was robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
I don't know that an armed security guard would have helped that situation.
Right.
It was dicey enough as is.
Yeah. It just feels like an unnecessary escalation, and it also feels very dismissive of like it's not human life centering by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's usually centering like the wealth of someone who's not even present in the fucking crime transaction in the first place.
I mean, I kind of think that museums are just like broadly unethical prima facie.
What?
Like to start with.
But like the British National Museum is like steeped in like prestige. Like they have such a wonderful collection of like world renowned artifacts. Like
right.
lovingly cared for and looked after having been very carefully acquired from these like mm-hmm. other mm-hmm. nations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gifted by these other nations freely.
Freely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Freely given. Yeah. Like when I heard about that and the, you know, they put like they fucking fortify the Louvre like it's Fort Knox. And like most of what's in the collection is not on display at any given time. This is true for most museums, I think. Like 90% of what they own is in a box in the basement with the lights out.
Yeah.
And what you do see, if it's really valuable, is just a copy of the thing that's supposed to belong to everybody via the museum, vis-a-vis the museum. And like I just am like, who does this serve? Who benefits from taking these things and like labeling them treasures and then like sequestering them in a walled-in garden that you have to pay to see? Like, what? So I'm like, oh, and so all of your Fort Knox, all of your efforts to keep people away from these inanimate objects that you have implemented like a system of hyper control over failed because somebody backed a chair, like a fucking lift up to the second story. Really? Like that's like, okay. I guess if all of your efforts to like safeguard these objects and make them precious and keep them away from people can be overridden by like the rental of a heavy piece of equipment for a single afternoon and access to a second story window, like I guess you deserve to have them stolen. I don't know. Like, I'm just like, really?
That's fair.
I'm kind of disappointed it was that easy.
I mean, for me, Damon, it seems like you had an idea. I don't want to cut you off there.
Oh, no. No, I mean...
It's like, I'm not stepping on that fucking landmine now.
I have so many thoughts, right? Like, yeah. You could argue that I think that those were, like, they belong to the state, which they means they belong to the people of France.
Yes, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a rich person per se that you were stealing from. You were stealing national heritage.
Yeah.
But also, that was like a king who ruled as a monarch. And, you know, there was the French Empire, and like the jewels and the gold and everything was probably extracted from some poor colonized society somewhere along the globe. Right. So it's like, I'm just going to not have an opinion.
Yeah, like I think I don't disagree with how problematic it is and like how tightly associated it is with colonialism, right? But I think that like many things like democracy and like even capitalism to some extent in terms of like what it is on paper versus like what we experience and what we've implemented and how we live it is very different, right? Like I could imagine, you know, and I'm sure there's even problematic issues with this that I'm not seeing, but like, you know, let's say like the Constitution, right? It's like this historical document that is of the people, and I don't disagree. Like, I don't think it's a terrible solution to preserve that document through some kind of like publicly funded, like tax funded entity that's like, we preserve this historical document, and mostly people just see a copy, and that's fine. But the historical document is available for research and understanding, and having this historical document that is preserved in a way that it's like it exists, like we can, you know, we're not idolizing it so much. I mean, fucking we do, but like in theory it's like, no, this is a publicly kept archive, like the way they archive seeds and shit, right? Like like these are some historical artifacts.
Well, it's a political document, right?
It is a political document, sure, and lots of like historical artifacts can end up being these political items. And I don't, you know, it's beyond the scope of my argument, but my point is like the institution of like a publicly funded museum that makes some attempt to have public access to a publicly owned resource is a great idea in theory. How we fucking practice it in this country or really in the world is like, I don't disagree with any of your arguments. You know, it's also like, it's also just kind of like, you know, it's like, what's the case going on right now with what's his name who shot the CEO of the health organization?
Oh, Luigi.
Luigi, yeah. It's like, I mean, come on, probably the guy did it. Like, there's pretty good fucking video evidence. Like, but we don't know.
Allegedly.
You know,
allegedly.
But also, like, I'm not above cheering for the fucking murder of an asshole. I'm not trying to.
Dostoevsky wrote a whole novel about this.
Like I'm like arguing for fucking chaos and we should just be able to go shoot anybody we want in the street. But like at the same time, I'm like, you know.
Well,
no,
the
I mean,
social contract,
no one's asking
we have
me.
We
I'm
have
not
a
the
very,
there we go.
Yeah. We have a very clear remedy in the social contract.
Yeah.
The rich get to be rich as long as we
get to own everything
and we tax them and they're, you know, they are supposed to make sure they improve the standard of living for everyone else.
Yep.
If you don't do that, we take a guillotine.
Right. Yeah. We take your head off.
Exactly.
That's the deal.
You take your head with a guillotine.
Yeah, right. So it's not like we're advocating that everybody should just be able to exact vigilante justice whenever they want to. Right. That is not the point. The point is the social contract has been broken, and we have agreed to allow an all or nothing remedy for that problem.
Right.
And the all or nothing remedy that we've allowed ourselves to be backed into the corner is you get to keep everything until and give us crumbs, but the second you take the crumbs, we get to chop your head off. That's the deal.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Like, that's the...
It wasn't a great deal, but... If you don't like it,
just pay taxes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the power is all yours.
Listen to Nick Hanauer.
Listen to Nick Hanauer. He's great. He has, like, what's the name of his pitchforks and torches?
To all the billionaires listening to this podcast, right, we recommend you follow the advice of Nick Hanauer.
Well, they're listening because they want to control everything.
Right.
all right. Hello.
Should we do another title? One. Okay.
Yes.
So we've got Life Coach Certification Course, which I think is not particularly... Well, so that transformed into... that transformed into Life Coach School for the Gift for the Grifted.
We're so good at this.
Yeah.
I'm so good at life. I'm going to coach you.
Yeah. See, this is my thing. I want to be the picks and shovels person in the life coaching industry. I don't want to be a life coach. I want to train other people to be life coaches and take money from them for that.
Right. And get them signed up with a piece of software that manages their life coach business.
Yeah.
There you go. Now we're talking.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You just take a bit of every transaction. Mm-hmm. And by bit, I mean like 80%. Isn't that how the franchises work?
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's totally
Well, it's a huge infrastructure we have to maintain. So,
right.
You know, listen, totally. You're going to make so much money being a life coach, it's not even going to matter that you only get to keep 20% of it.
That's right.
Right? Actually, that weirdly coincides with this title. So, weirdly specific things I wouldn't do for a Klondike bar.
Here's some weirdly specific things I wouldn't do. There are certain very infamous internet videos that I have managed to avoid my entire life, not really through trying, but now that I have managed to avoid them for this long, I am trying, and I would not watch some of them for a Klondike bar.
I don't think I've even ever had a Klondike bar.
Oh, what?
Really?
Yeah.
They're fucking delicious. They're
so good. I guess like there's nothing I would do for a Klondike bar.
I'm gonna have to buy you some. I'm gonna get you some, and you're gonna love them.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should just refuse at this point.
You might want to because they're pure sugar, and then I'm gonna be like, but you can't really eat these now that you love them because they're sugar.
Boo.
Boo. If it's widely beloved, it's probably toxic.
That's right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Here's another title. What is the best cult?
Well, I think I can tell you. At least the cult situation that has brought me the most joy recently has been the like Mormon Lego owners. Lego shop owners, do you know about this?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh my God.
I guess the Mormon
Lego story is this summer's Titan implosion.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
There's like some super, super rich Mormons whose business has been totally trashed because it turns out they're fucking awful people, who would have thought. And now the entire internet has turned on them and their entire like empire of Legos that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever is like fizzling out.
Yeah.
Like overnight. Amazing. Because they were exposed as being such horrendous dickheads.
This is the bricks and minifig scandal.
Yes. And this has so many weird elements to it that like people from all over the fucking spectrum have gotten interested in this story who have nothing to do with Legos. Like there's tons of lawyers who are like, this is such a legal shit show. And there's like legal influencers on YouTube doing stories about it. And like people who are civil rights attorneys and political commentators and people who left the Mormon church talking about the Mormons involved. And it cuts across so many sub-demographics.
It's a cornucopia of all of the corruption in society.
It's like kind of like a placeholder for everything that's wrong in America right now.
Interesting.
It's a really interesting story.
So I actually, if you remember when I made those minifigs for you guys and the Zamboni,
yes,
I did not use the bricks and minifigs store connections. There was a there was like an online outlet that you could buy used and new brick, like semi new bricks from, which is how I sourced all of those. Because there's actually like a thriving community. If you're like, if you're an adult into Legos, you can. You can find what are called mocks, making of my own creation, where people like create plans for things. So that's what that Zamboni was. That was somebody else's creation that I like. I basically purchased from them the plans from, and then I sourced.
You stole it?
No, I gave them money.
You paid for it fairly.
I stole it by slipping a couple bucks under the door and running off with the plans.
Right.
That's how I opened the lock. I picked the lock with like $10 with money. Yeah, with money. I was just like,
thieves' tools.
Fucking right. God damn, thieves' tools. Like, how big is your thieve toolkit? Well, I got a couple $1 million. I can pick some pretty big lock. But then I sourced the bricks from, I can't remember where it was. There was like another online like outlet where you could, and you can actually buy from individuals who are selling pieces from their like collections. So, and it's often like very like affordable and really well managed. It's like pretty cool stuff. So
that's cool.
So I know that you guys run all kinds of demographics on your, audience.
Yes, we do.
What percentage of your audience do you think is screaming into the screen or device right now? It's Lego, not Legos.
Right. It is Lego.
It is Lego.
There is no S. Did I say an S on it?
No, I think Ned did.
I for sure said you? Legos. I definitely say Legos.
Yeah. And so I'm sure there is now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So
screaming happening.
The Lego.
Yes.
And that's something I've struggled with. I can't tell you our demographics, but I can tell you that as of today, on Apple Podcast, we have over 1,600 plays.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow. In the last 6 months or something.
That's fucking unbelievable. Are you shitting me?
Let me see. Hold on.
That's crazy. Who are these people?
No, I'm wrong. Hold on. Let me.
Okay.
There's three.
God, I had like a heart attack just now.
Yeah.
That's like that day that you were like, we've had something like 200 downloads of this episode, which is 199 more than I'm comfortable with.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it, too.
What I'm looking at this period, 1,579 plays. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that. So there's lots of episodes that weren't ever played according to Apple Podcasts. Now, this is only on the Apple Podcast platform.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that we get a lot of traction on. I think it's more Spotify, and maybe I think actually a lot of our listeners are just people who subscribe to the RSS feed and use like a non-tracking device player. But, you know, like our top episode is still Liminality from 2020.
Ah.
John Hamm Can't Mime has 12 listens. Consider the Context has 50. Words That Have Been Ruined For Me Forever has 23. So there's some like, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's weird. Funny. I don't even necessarily care who is listening. What's fascinating to me is that anyone's listening at all, and that a bunch of people seem to be gravitating towards some of the same things.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think
peculiar. That's all.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I guess if as things get listened to more, like if you're looking at Apple Podcasts, that means it might be getting recommended slightly more or something.
I think what happens is like the Liminality one blew up because one person left a review and then it got passed around.
That's right. Somebody left like a 5-star review on it.
Yeah.
On that episode.
Yeah.
And then I went on and got a master's degree about liminality.
Because of that person.
Master of liminality.
Because of that person. Yes. That's whoever you are out there. Right. I mean, if everybody at the University of Louisville hadn't been like a completely terminal asshole, I might have gotten a master's in bioethics instead, but so much for that.
Right. I don't know. I feel like you reviewed that the whole sort of industry of bioethics seemed to really turn you off quite a bit.
It's fucked. I mean, like, because, like, from it, I'm really interested in bioethics from, like, multiple angles, right? Like, I care about, like, the essence of the academic arguments being made. What even is bioethics? Who does it apply to? When do you look to that as the framework to assess a particular situation? All this stuff, right? If you try to get a degree in bioethics, they're like, you're going to work on a hospital board and make sure nobody gets sued. And I'm like, that's not what? No.
I mean, this
and like,
is,
it's yeah. very like industrial, capital industrial, like everything else in this country. I should have seen this fucking coming, right? Like right. I should have seen it coming, but I thought, well, hey, this is housed, this program for this graduate degree is housed in a department of philosophy. Like you would think that they would care about like the fundamentals, but no, it was like tailored for doctors who are picking up an MA who like want to be able to charge more money or something. I don't even know. I don't even like to this day, I think a lot of, not like every day or anything, but I think about this a lot. Like I am still plagued by the question of who the fuck that program was even for.
Right.
Like, who is this for?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just a really shitty program. There may be other bioethics programs at other schools. You know, maybe the solution to my problem is to get a PhD in bioethics and not worry about the fucking master's degree. But ain't nobody want to get a PhD right now. The state of higher ed is ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I'm done with higher ed unless something radically changes with the way it's operating. Like, the fact that like professors and students are using AI to complete work
yeah.
is like is antithetical to the very idea of what knowledge is and how it's created in academia.
It's really
it's like yeah. so fucking self-defeating. I'm like I'm not even going to entertain an academic conversation in an academic setting unless we're done with this. So like we can just go on like this forever and pretend like we're generating knowledge or something when it's just a dead internet and everybody's just like talking in circles and nobody's producing any real work and there's no actual critical thought happening. Oof, okay, whatever. But like, I'm not going to be part of that conversation at all. Like I refuse to.
Well, I am appreciating like the just general backlash against AI, like across the public domain is like pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just really like people are just really sick of it.
Yeah, because we're not stupid. It's yeah. like we all can see that you're like doing a terrible job of lying about what this even is.
Right.
Like not only are you lying about it, you're just doing it badly.
So speaking of AI, I have one business yeah. idea. I think we should make I think we should start a shoe company called Towboats.
Yes.
Towboats.
And you know, T-O-E-B-O-A-T-S.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And maybe our first flagship model will look like a tugboat.
I love... Do they float?
They're boat shoes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
They're boat shoes.
Yeah, they'd be boat shoes. I don't know. Maybe.
Towboats.
They're, yeah, towboats.
It's a boat on a boat.
It's a boat on a boat.
Put a boat on a boat.
Yeah. But it'll be just like that other shoe company that pivoted to...
Allbirds.
No, it'll just be AI-centric. It'll be AI-focused. Like, it'll be very
yes.
like AI-centric.
But that's the company choosing. That...
Yeah.
Right. The shoe company was Allbirds, and now they are an AI.
Oh, yes. AI yeah. Yes. Company. Sorry. Yes. The Allbirds yeah. company. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be like that, but we'll just from exactly. the ground up. Because we'll, like, that'll be our edge is like Towboats mm-hmm. started as an AI company.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Not like those other shoe latecomer. Companies.
Right.
Right. Right. That made the transition yeah. when it was too late. Right.
And depending
yeah,
on.
I think this is great.
Depending on how you feel about AI, either AI thought of the idea or didn't.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, like if you're an investor, for sure AI thought of this idea. Like it's like human hands off, basically. Like all you got to do mm-hmm. is just dump money into this AI fucking machine, and you're gonna make so much money. If you're a customer, yep. then no, absolutely not. Definitely didn't do that.
You're yeah. gonna be so tired of winning.
You're gonna be so tired of winning. Yeah. I was driving out to the Norburn suburbs the yes. other day, uh-huh. And on the way out of the Twin Cities, there is in Minnesota. There's billboards everywhere. They're not illegal here, and so there's all up and down the freeways, and so on the side of the freeway. leaving town to go north out of the Twin Cities, there's a giant sign that's like, is your HVAC broken? Well, call us because AI can't fix that. And I'm like, everybody hates it.
Yeah.
So funny. See, hun, when they lay you off, you can go be an HVAC guy.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Anyway, I do need to wrap up.
Because you need to go sail a boat.
I got to go sail a boat. Yeah.
You ain't gonna sail itself.
You need some of those towboat shoes.
Yeah.
You could use them right now.
Yeah, yep. I could use a towboat.
All right.
Right now.
Well, it seems like our test of our equipment succeeded.
I think so.
No one say that we did not accomplish something today.
That's true.
Let no one say. We did. We did accomplish it. This is the record.
This is it right here. Tell you what.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're back in action. We're recording podcasts. Go team.
Woo!
We're going to sign
that's
off
because
now. It's
because two-thirds of us are unemployed again, which is when you and I do our best work.
It is true. Yes. Yeah. Maybe this time we'll bite the bullet and convert some of that to capital.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to click off the unrecord. So, okay. Goodbye.
Okay. Okay. Goodbye. Okay. Bye.